Welcome to the Rise Method podcast, where we make fitness information available to everyone. I'm Steve. Let's jump in.
What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Rise Method podcast. In today's episode, we're joined with our co-host, Laura. Laura, how are we doing today?
Co-host this week. Co-host. Usually I'm resident, and what was the other one?
It's in the past.
It's in the past. We are moving forward.
In the future. We are rising above, and you are rising the ranks to the title co-host.
Interesting.
I am not sure what is higher than co-host, other than primary host.
I'm gunning for your spot.
Gun.
Yeah.
Gun. And
Been a minute anyway.
Yes. You know, we missed out on last week's episode because of daycare germs.
Gastro.
So if you're in Melbourne, you might have known that gastro hit lots of different public areas, from schools and daycares, and even AFL teams got hit, and there was recommendations to not go to swimming pools. And of course, we got hit with gastro.
Yep.
Now, I'll spare you all the details because that's not fun. But it's just really fascinating because, you know, you have a new appreciation for fitness. Whenever you get sick, you appreciate and miss the feeling of not being sick,
right? Oh, yeah.
And you always forget. You always forget the feeling of being sick until you're sick.
You forget how it feels to be healthy.
Right? Yeah. And like right now, like if I rewind, you know, 12 months plus ago when we first got COVID, for example.
Yeah.
Wasn't fun for us because we had little George who was, you know, just under a year old, and we were stressing out more about him than ourselves. But I just remember now thinking about it, just how horrible it was in the moment, right? Hit me quite hard. I don't know about you, dear listener. But you kind of forget, like, oh geez, that was really, really crappy time. But then when you are actually sick, you kind of miss, you're like, oh geez, I wish I wasn't sick.
Yeah.
And you appreciate fitness because of how quickly you lose your fitness. For me, you know, I really struggle to, kind of get up off the couch or off the bed. You know, I just wanted to sleep all day. I was struggling to get any steps in, let alone do any sort of like chores around the house. The house was an absolute mess just because we were both just exhausted. But then we had to also look after the kids, which was a challenge in itself.
Yes, toddlers.
Toddlers, yeah. Mm.
You know.
Plus I just completely lost my appetite, which is strange. Which is really
very strange.
Given how much I eat or how frequently I eat. It was strange just how quickly it gastro set on. And then my appetite just completely went.
Mm-hmm.
And the effects that it had on just my ability to do anything, right? So I thought we'll just quickly talk about what to do if you are actually sick.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Especially winter as time's coming.
Yeah, you know, we're rolling in through autumn, and, you know, winter's coming soon, and, you know, sicknesses come and go. And when you're on your fitness journey, a sickness can come in and disrupt enough things that you, lose your momentum, you lose your habits, your routines, and then it could take, you know, quite a few weeks before you actually kind of get back into that same routine. So you might only be sick for a couple of days, but it can easily derail you in your progress.
Yeah.
Right. You know, for us, like, we were unwell for maybe 2-3 days or so.
Yep.
It was a little bit harder because the boys were unwell, so that kind of got stretched out even longer. But, you know, we live a quite health and fitness related lifestyle that we bounce back. It's fine. Business as usual. So priority one, whenever you are unwell, regardless on what your strategy is or your goal is, priority one should be to look after yourself and to recover effectively.
Yep. Yeah. Acknowledge that you're unwell.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if it's the flu, if it's a gastro, if it's a sunburn, a skin rash, or like whatever's going on with you, like, priority one should be to recover. So I want you to set aside any broad fitness goals, diet goals, training goals, whatever it is, like, set aside those ideas, because priority one is to recover yourself and to make sure the people around you are well. You know, most of us in positions of responsibilities. So if we are unwell, we might not be able to help the people around us who are unwell, especially those of us who we're responsible for. So first step, make sure you recover. Now, how do you recover? Well, you know, it all depends on the illness that you have. But think about the things that make you healthy, you know, getting good quality sleep, managing your stress, drinking plenty of water, having like good quality nutritious foods, and a little bit of like physical activity can be helpful in some situations, but it shouldn't be a major priority. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, sometimes when we're sick, the first things we want to do is to, you know, lay on the couch, which we felt like doing over the weekend, and, you know, almost really sleeping couldn't. All day. Really couldn't. And then sometimes the little appetite that you do have ends up going towards, oh, I can't be bothered cooking or yeah. making food. So, you know, I'll have, I don't know, a piece of chocolate because it makes me feel nice, or like, you know, just a piece of bread, or like something just yeah. like boring, basic, and it's just like, it's not even like a meal. So I will recommend that you think about like nourishing your body and adding nutrients to it to help that recovery process. I mentioned it before about hydration, but, you know, your fluid levels play a major part in your ability to recover and also your levels of fatigue. So if you are feeling like tired, fatigued, drink a lot of water. So like for me, I remember going to the toilet, number one, and realizing how dark my pee was. And I was like, wow, geez, I've got to drink a lot of water, right? So even though I was trying to consume lots of water, the sickness was dehydrating me even more so. So you might find that you need to drink even more water than normal, okay? Now, talking about training, physical activity can be helpful. Like going for a walk can be helpful. I might feel better after that doing some exercise.
And, yep. Yeah.
You know, we need to be cautious of, you know, spreading illnesses. So if you have like a flu or a contagious virus, it might not be wise to, you know, go for a walk in a public environment, or to go to a commercial gym and use some cardio equipment and, you know, spread everything around everywhere. We've got to be you know, especially in the post-COVID era, we need to think about these types of ideas. So think about scaling back your training intensity. So if you are training, let's say, in a home gym and you want to lift some weights, maybe it's not great to be going for like a PB. You might not actually be able to lift much. Mm. So appreciate that you will be at a lower lifting level. And think about, you know, like an RP of maybe like a 5 or 6 out of 10. So you're going through the motions, getting a bit of a stretch and maybe a bit of a pump, but, you know, we might not be pushing ourselves to the absolute max. Yeah. And then finally, if you are kind of recovering from that illness, so you are kind of past the trenches and you're in the state of recovery and you're like, oh, well, you know, I want to kind of kick back on with my dieting plan, I would recommend that you just reduce your diet intensity slightly, mainly because we need to consider overall stress. So your body's under stress because it's fighting an illness or something happening inside of you. And if you add on things like diet-related stress, that can just be a lot compounding. It can actually slow down the recovery time. So you might be better off instead of going really hard in your diet and, you know, in a state of hunger and the fatigue, maybe having a few extra calories just in that recovery window might be helpful, so that you can recover quicker and then kind of get back into everything faster, right? Now, final thing I'll say is that you know, the body is really clever and auto-regulates yourself really well. So what that means is, take myself as an example. When I lost my appetite, and then I was extremely fatigued and tired,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So because I lost my appetite, didn't want to eat, I didn't consume any energy, my body self-regulated and said, well, you've got no energy, so your job is to sit on the couch because you've got no energy.
You're tired, yep.
Right? And that was triggered because of what was happening inside of my gut, saying, oh, I don't want any food in this. And then my body was like, oh, okay, you're not doing any exercise mm-hmm. right now. So the body's really powerful. So you might find that if you are in a state where you lose your appetite, you're not eating as much, you might notice that your steps also decrease. You feel tired, you're fatigued. Then your overall energy expenditure decreases. So even though you're not eating, you're not expending as much energy. So the net difference is negligible because your body's really clever. Also the other way around. So if you start eating more, you might be moving more, and you might be moving more in enough of a net difference so that you can reach towards your goals. So in another way of saying that, by slowly increasing your food intake, you might become more physically active, wanting to do these things, wanting to exercise again, resulting in a net positive outcome because you're healthier and feeling better.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, especially when sometimes you find that if you aren't eating nutritious sort of meals or food, and you are also not walking around, you're not getting up much. Like I found that during working from home period with the whole COVID lockdowns, I was tired constantly because you weren't moving around lots. You were kind of just grabbing for what was in the pantry. Well, at that time was almost whatever you could get off the shelves at Coles. But so, yeah, I wonder if there's like lots of people out there that are in the same situation. They kind of just grab whatever's in the pantry or fridge and eat, don't really move a lot. And they're like, oh, I'm so tired. It must be like my iron level or it must be some sort of deficiency. But really it could be just the food you're consuming and the, for lack of a better word, the lack of movement that you are.
Totally agree. And that momentum kind of like, is really powerful because like once you kind of start moving, you realize, oh, hey, like, you know, I can actually feel good about myself and, you know, kind of gets the blood circulating and the joints moving, the muscles going. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, I can do this. And then mentally you're like, oh, well, while I'm up and doing things, I'll go and, you know, just do the dishes and clean up the lounge room and, you know, go outside and tidy up and rah, rah, rah. The next thing you know, you're like, oh, I've done all these things and yeah. You feel positive and you're just kind of in this nice momentum state. So yeah, like that's what we're trying to build up again. So after this episode of a sickness, we're trying to build up our health and our lifestyle again so that we're being active and being physical and kicking goals.
Basically. Kicking goals.
So good. So from here, we are in week four.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting week, like always. And week four presents to us the end of the first phase in this 12-week challenge. So a 12-week challenge is broken up into kind of three little phases, and that's around the month. And we're trying to think about the months as a phase. And within sports science, we call them mesocycles. So about a month or so, 4 to 6 weeks is a mesocycle. So we're kind of finishing our first kind of little phase, and then we're getting ready to roll into the next phase, weeks five to eight. Okay, now what you can expect as we roll into weeks 5 to 8 is some minor adjustments to the BTC training program. So it's not a complete overhaul. There might be some similar exercises, but there might be some slightly different tweaks to that program. So it's a little bit fresh, a little bit exciting, and so that you can continue to see progress. So for example, we might swap a seated leg curl to a lying leg curl. So it's still a leg curl, but it's just a slightly different variation to play around with. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of variation, something exciting to do, and then also to help us to continue to grow over time. Okay. Now, around the meal plan nutrition side of things, you we're not expecting a change in your nutrition goals unless you require a change. So if you are noticing that you're not seeing the progress that you'd like to see, or the progress is slowed down to a point where it's less than maybe 0.5% of your body weight per week that you're losing, if you've got weight loss goals, you can reach out to us. We can review your nutrition goals and maybe recalibrate your calories or your macro split, then regenerate a meal plan for you. Now, you can regenerate your meal plan at any time. So you can swap your meals inside your meal plan as often as you like. There's a few hundred, close to about 1,000 or so different recipes inside that meal plan. So you can continue to make that meal plan as fresh and new and exciting as you want. And there are some hidden features in that meal plan. Ooh. Hidden features. So
I know of one hidden feature.
Yes. Yeah, so if you click the knife and fork button, you open up your meal plan on the app. In the top right corner, in the white space of the app, there's actually a white button.
Right?
Yeah. Because we're brilliant here. So yep. we put a white button on a white background, and there's two features there. One is to just generate a brand new meal plan from scratch. So instead of swapping each individual meal, if you kind of want to let the algorithm take over and generate an entire new plan, you just click that regenerate button. It's invisible, so you just be tapping into white space on the top right corner of your app. And you click the regenerate button. And there's also a shopping list feature as well. So the regenerate meal plan button is in the like more the top right part of the white space. And then to the left of that button is the meal plan the shopping list button. So you can click that shopping list button and you can generate a new shopping list, right, for your meal plan. Now, the way that the shopping list works is it generates from the meal plan that we have. So if you've gone and swapped different meals and then you generate a meal plan, and then you swap some meals again, that won't be automatically presented. You just need to regenerate that meal plan, okay? Does that make sense?
Yes, the very hidden shopping list.
Very hidden shopping
list. We are working on rectifying that secret shopping list.
Yes.
Button. But bear with us while it's white on white and it's really, 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 really hard to see.
Yes. Yes. It is. Yes. But it's going to come in time. So just make sure you have the latest update for the Rise Method app. So you might need to go into the app store to make sure you've downloaded that latest update. And then with that update is also voice memos. So you can actually send voice memos in places like our group chats, or if you're a Platinum member, you can send voice memos to me directly. I can send voice memos back and you can voice your questions and comments
opinions.
Rather than typing them out if you are a voice memo person.
Yep, some people are. I have friends that are voice memo people. Yep.
I'm not really there yet. No, I feel sometimes it's quicker to type something out than to kind of click record and then, you know, start thinking about, oh, what am I going to say to this person? And then
I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have really said it that way. And
and then if you wanted to like edit something, you can't really edit it. You know, if you've been speaking for 30 seconds or so, you can't really edit it. Yeah. Right.
No.
Kind of like a podcast here. You know, if something happens, we're going to have to start all over again.
We better continue.
Better continue then. Cool. So in other exciting news within the Rise Method ecosystem, we have a new free 14-day Easter Shred Challenge starting on the 1st of April.
So Monday.
Monday. So this Monday coming, 1st of April, no April Fools here.
Yeah.
That is, yes, Easter Monday.
Easter Monday.
Easter Monday. We have a free 14-day Easter Shred Challenge, free for everybody, free for anyone to join. If you are a current challenger in the BTC or a platinum member, you have automatic entry into the Easter Shred Challenge, and you'll see that populate even now in the challenges section on your app. Within the Easter Shred Challenge, the challenge is to complete 20 workouts within the 14 days. Okay, so it's a workout, but essentially
it's a challenge.
A workout each day, and a couple of days you're doing two workouts. So if you join us, you will be presented with a really fun little animation where you are going towards a little treasure chest. So each workout you do, you move a little bit closer to the treasure chest on the Rise Method app. And once you reach 20 points, you reach the top or the treasure. Okay. So we have three prize packs to give away. And the prize pack is 3 months or 12 weeks worth of platinum membership plus a Rise Method merch pack. Okay, so those three packs have the value of close to about $1,000 and free to join for anybody to join. So if you are a current member and you reach the top and you win the prize, your platinum membership will start at the end of the current challenge. And if you're a platinum member, you will get 12 weeks for free, and then you know your platinum membership will continue on. The way we are going to select the three winners is it's going to be a random name out of the hat.
Yep.
So if there are...
Rabbit out of the hat.
Rabbit out of the hat. Great. So if there are three individuals who reach the top and that's it, those three people win. Mm-hmm. But if there is 50, well, those 50 names will go in the hat. We'll pick out those three names. Now, we also have a second competition for a refer a friend to the Easter Shred Challenge. So we want as many people as we can to join the Easter Shred Challenge. And if you refer a friend, the person who refers the most people to the Easter Shred Challenge will win their own prize, which will be 12 weeks worth of platinum membership plus a Rise merch pack as well. Okay, the way that will work is your friend who you referred will get an email on day one of the challenge, and they can just submit your name saying that you referred them, and then the person who has the most referrals wins.
Sounds fabulous.
So anyone could be the winner of the Refer Your Friend. So you could be doing the challenge, you could not be, you could have just signed up for the Easter Shred, and then you start referring your friend, your mum, your cousin, and your dog's walker.
Yeah.
And you might win. So that's been really cool.
So all the prizes combined comes to a total of $1,000. It's a pretty neat prize for Easter. It's a
pretty cool prize to hop into.
Hop Easter. Into it.
Hop in or hop out of Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works kind of.
Roll out of Easter.
Roll out of it. Yeah. Okay.
Easter eggs and hot cross buns.
Yeah. So we have 14 new workouts as part of that Easter Shred program. So they're 10 minutes long. So you can do them if you're very short in time. And if you're looking for a bit more, you can do a few more. And what you'll have access to is the sweat workout library. So there's over 50 different workouts in that sweat program library. So enough to keep you busy. And, you know, the workouts are about 10 minutes long, which means that, you know, you could do, you know, two workouts. It'll take you about 20 minutes or so. So you could get to that 20 workouts in 14 days quite nicely if you're dedicated to it.
Yeah. So coach, can we do the same workout every day?
You can.
If we love the six pack abs, can we do that every day?
You can, of course. Great. Yeah. So you'll have a workout scheduled every day inside your calendar. You can do that workout, or you can just click the training tab and then complete any other workout inside of the sweat library.
Sounds good.
So lots to keep you busy over 14 days. And of course, B2C members and Platinum members have access to the sweat library now, and they can complete those 14 workouts. Those 14 new workouts are now, if they're interested in having a little sticky note ahead of April Fool's.
Perfect.
Good.
April Fool's.
April 1st. So good. All right. Quick update on the leaderboards inside the app. We're coming up towards the end of March, and we start the new leaderboards as we go into April, which coincides with the 1st of April. So that's when our new leaderboards start. So at the moment, we have on the nutrition leaderboard, 7 different people in first place.
Wow. So they have met their nutrition every day.
Yeah, nutrition goals almost every day. So they're on 23 points.
Yep.
And the recording of today, it is the 27th mm-hmm. of March. And I think this leaderboard started on the 4th. So yeah, you're right. Actually, it'll be every single day these 7 people have met their nutrition goals.
That's amazing.
So we have Amanda, Crystal, Jennifer, Joanne, Kat, Catherine, and Susan all in first place on the nutrition leaderboard on 23 points.
So incredible. Fantastic work.
Yeah. So I think it's extra incentive, because if there's 7 people in first place all being consistent with their nutrition,
well,
it's
you don't
like
want to drop off.
You don't want to drop off.
You don't want to drop off now.
So that's really cool. So if you want to stick with your nutrition goals, you know, get committed to something like the nutrition leaderboard, which starts on the 1st of April. So your goal next month might be to meet your nutrition goals every day. So mm-hmm. you could be on the very top place, or maybe you choose to finish in the top 3. Maybe that might be a more achievable goal yep. if you're a little bit inconsistent yep. with that there. Next, we have the personal bests leaderboard. So first place, we have Jennifer as well. No, Jennifer's not in different yet, Jennifer. And she's on 102 points in the personal best leaderboard.
Wow,
so
okay.
the way that
so
works
explain that one. Yep.
is every personal best you earn, you get a point. Mm-hmm. Personal best wow. could be, if you, it's not every exercise, every single workout. It's not yeah. like you did bench press for 50 kilos for 5 reps, and then next workout you did bench press for 50 kilos for 6 reps.
Yeah.
Doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It's personal best under different categories. So like, you know, 10 rep max, 5 rep max, 3 rep max, 1 rep max, total volume lifted, that type of thing. Yeah. So Jennifer, 102 points. We've got Tully on 97 points mm-hmm. and Matt on 83 points. So it could be a close one between Jennifer and Tully
yes,
to finish
so
off the personal best
for this
leaderboard.
Month.
And then the workout leaderboard, we have Jennifer, different Jennifer. Jennifer, who's also first place in nutrition leaderboard, on 259 points. So the workout leaderboard is you get 2 points per workout you complete and 1 point per cardio activity you complete.
It's like a walk.
Yeah, walk or a bike ride, that type mm-hmm. of thing. Yeah. So Jennifer, 259 points, and Catherine, 257 points. So that's really close.
Yeah, that's a close game.
So they're about a workout apart from each other. And then we have Jennifer, who's first place in the personal best leaderboard. I'm in third place there at 192 points. So it's kind of a neck-to-neck tie between Jennifer and Catherine for the first place in the workout leaderboard. So
amazing.
It's a tight race between
all the
three.
Jennifers.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got Jennifer in first place in the nutrition leaderboard, Jennifer in the first place in the personal best leaderboard,
yeah, yeah.
and Jennifer in first place for the workout leaderboard
yep.
at this stage. So congratulations,
Jennifer.
In the different Jennifers. But I love that. Awesome. So good. So again, the new leaderboards start on the 1st of April, mm-hmm. so Monday the 1st. It will be running for 4 weeks, so 28 days. And everyone's automatically entered into that. Even the Easter Shred challenges will be added to that
Great,
leaderboard. Yeah. But they would only be there for 14 days, not the yeah. whole 28 days. So good. Okay. Final part here, we're going to go through some questions mm-hmm. that popped up on the Rise Method app over the past couple of weeks.
Yep.
So Laura, take us away.
Yes, we have some good ones here today, Coach Steve. Just wondering if you could suggest some cues that may help me with my balance, especially in lunges. I'm very wobbly in my feet. I'm not sure if it's my shoes or my technique or how I may be holding or lifting my toes. Is there a placement of my feet I should be concentrating on? Take it away.
Yeah, this is a good one. And there's different ways you can unpack a question like this. So firstly, when we're talking about balance, balance closely related to stability. And if our balance is low and our stability is low, then our power output is also low. Okay. So imagine the difference of you, let's say, balancing on one leg and you try to push somebody, you're not going to be able to push much, create much power.
No.
But if you had 2 feet, you know, separated, you kind of hunched down into like a little bit of like a NFL-like position or rugby-like position, you know, you'd be quite stable and you'd be able to create a little power out of that. Right. So if you are in a position where you're wobbling a lot in lunges or squats or any sort of exercises, heck, even like upper body exercises, mm-hmm. if you've noticed that you're wobbling a lot, you have low stability and your nervous system is unable to create power. Okay. And think of it in a evolutionary way. If you are a human, you're in a tree.
If you're a human,
you're a human, dear humans, if you are, and you're in a tree and you are going to step onto a branch to reach for a fruit.
Right? I was wondering what this is going.
And if your brain detects that branch is not stable, it's not going to let you put the whole force through that branch.
Yeah.
Right. So your brain goes, no, we're not putting 100% power. We're putting maybe 50% power mm-hmm. because we don't know if this branch is going to break. And you know, kill us, right? So evolution, right? Survival of the fittest. So that translates over into our training. So our nervous system slows us down, and then you know, biomechanics kind of slow us down because if we're wobbly, we're not as stable. You know, imagine like a building stable, it's strong, but if this building's wobbly, it's not as strong. Yeah. So we need to solve the wobbling problem. Okay. Now the balance, especially with lunges, could be where we are placing our feet. So if your feet are kind of like on a tightrope, so they're like in line with each other, you know, you're not going to be as balanced because you're basically like you're standing on a tightrope or a slack rope if you're into slack work. So what I would recommend is if you just separate the feet slightly, horizontally, not vertically. Mm-hmm. So imagine like you're on a set of train tracks rather than on a tightrope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you just separate and widen your stance, especially in like a lunge or a split squat, that might be able to improve your balance. So that might solve the problem. The next thing is that it is totally fine and totally acceptable to hold on to something while you're doing lunges.
Yep.
So that could be like a pole. Most gyms have like dowel rods and things mm-hmm. like that. Or even if you are doing like a static lunge, just near like a squat rack or like an actual physical wall, you know, that could be enough to give you stability. And you'll find lots of bro and broettes who are trying to build muscle, like bodybuilding style, will opt to use stability like poles and stuff when doing single leg work so that they can lift heavier weights, put more stimulus on their mm-hmm. muscles to grow. So it's totally fine to use stability apparatuses so that you can, you know, complete the exercise well. Yeah. The main part of this question though is like, I feel very wobbly in my feet.
Mm.
So that's kind of different to like a technique thing, because if it was technique, you know, you wouldn't be feeling in your feet, you'd be feeling in your whole body.
Yeah.
But if you're feeling your feet, you know, we can ask further questions of like, what type of shoes are you wearing?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're wearing really padded like runners that have lots of thick soles, that's basically like standing on, you know, a mattress, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's really like unbalanced as it is. So you might benefit from just taking those types of shoes off. So you're like basically on the ground, or finding like casual shoes that have like a flat sole. You might benefit from having some stability there. Next thing to consider is overall feet strength. So if you are always wearing shoes and your feet musculature is weak, you might benefit from taking your shoes off more and actually letting those muscles
earthing
more. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And then final thing would be this idea that the question said, how I might be holding/lifting my toes. So when we are having our feet planted on the ground, if anything, we should be gently kind of pressing down with our toes.
Yeah.
Especially during like a squat.
Not pressing for dear life.
A squat-like pattern. Yeah. You shouldn't be clawing your toes, but you should be kind of, there's a cue, you know, like big toe down that helps with that foot activation, leg activation. But then there's a further concept called the tripod foot, where we want to be having our body weight and pressure on the heel of the foot, the like base of the pinky toe and the base of the big toe. Mm-hmm. And that kind of creates like a tripod through like the 2 points on the ball of our foot and 1 point on our heel, creating this like triangle tripod shape. So that kind of be like where the bulk of the pressure should be on your feet. And then like kind of like the big toe pushing down to create that firm stability. So that should be a way that we're doing it. And I think that some group fitness instructors would openly say things like, oh, you know, your toes shouldn't be like
just gonna pressure say that. Yep.
And even things like, oh, weight on your heels type stuff. Yep. And that might be like a broad cue to solve a problem of people when they're squatting that lift up their heels and move on to their toes or when
putting
their
body weight through their toes.
That type of idea. Which might cause other problems because that's like, you know, going onto high heels if you're just like listening here. And then in a group fitness environment, that could cause like a simple OH&S issue because if you are coming up in toes and people just fall over, okay, I can see how a broad cue of, you know, lift your toes up, put your body weight onto your heels makes it a little bit OH&S safe. But for an effective squat, we want to have even foot pressure. Okay. So there's a few ideas to consider, but I recommend the easiest one, just hold onto a wall. It would solve most of the problems
there. You don't have to hold on for dear life. Sometimes it's just there to touch, feel, look pretty.
Yeah. Or even like you said, like just that mental side of it. Like if you just know like, okay, I'm not putting 100% of my weight through this pole or squat rack or wall or whatever, but I'm just kind of like got fingertips up against the wall. That could mentally
catch me.
Mentally allow your nervous system to be like, all right, I feel stable. I can, you know, create some
absolutely
quality power. Good.
Question number two, coach. If I'm hitting the max in my rep range for all three sets of an exercise, the next time I do that exercise, should I do the first set or do a warm up of previous weight first or just go straight into set one with the heavier weight?
Yeah, no, good question. So for context, let's say you are bench pressing and you're bench pressing 100 kilos. Your rep range is, let's say, 8 to 12 reps, and you are benching 50 kilos for 12 reps, 12 reps, and 12 reps. So you're hitting the top of your range. So you are indicating that you're ready to increase the load or increase the weight on the bar. So maybe going up to 52.5 or 55 kilos. Yeah. The question is, should I do the first set or like slash warm up at 50 kilos, the previous weight? Then go into the heavier weight, 52.5, for the actual working weight, right? And the answer is, no, just go straight into the heavier weight, yeah? Because if you know that you can do 50 kilos for 12, 50 kilos for 12, 50 kilos for 12, the next week you're ready to go up to, let's say, 55 for argument's sake, you know, increasing it by 10%. If you do 50 kilos for, let's say, 12 in that practice set, warm-up set, first set, all you're doing is really giving yourself fatigue and it's not having a stimulus that is reaching the what's called overload threshold where it's challenging and stimulates growth. So you're adding fatigue without the benefits that come with it. But if you just went straight to 55 kilos, then you're reaching that challenging state and you essentially want to find a weight that you can complete at least, you know, 8 reps in, you know, because if it was an 8 to 12 rep range, you want to be finding a weight that you can do at least 8 reps in. So if you did 50 kilos for 12 in that practice warm up first set, then you go to 55 kilos and you only did it for 6, you might be scratching your head and you're like, oh geez, what happened? Like I thought I can increase. All right, maybe next week I'll stay at 50 kilos. I'm not really ready to increase. And then maybe you do the same with 52.5 kilos and the same thing happens. You maybe get like 7 reps and you're like, oh geez, I just can't find what do I do? So go straight to 55. Of course, you could do maybe a practice set at that 50 kilos, but only do like, you know, 4 or 5 reps, just practice, feel the weight, then increase the weight to 55, then go for your like, you know, 12 repetitions or like your 8 to 12 rep range. That could be something that you do. But whatever you do for your warm-up sets, I'd recommend no more than like 2 warm-up sets and no more than, let's say, like a 4 to 6 RPE. So you want it to be like easy, something you could do lots of reps in, but you're just kind of like warming up the joints, your nervous system, and then just like patterning the movement. warm-ups, made simple, and yeah, just go straight into some quality load.
Quality load.
Quality load.
Final question for week four. How often should I be stretching? Can you overstretch?
Yes.
Very common question, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I think when you consider stretching, it's worth like zooming out and asking like, what's the goal of stretching? Yeah, as in like, what's your goal? What's your reason why you want to stretch? Yeah. Because when you think about like daily life, like we don't need like lots and lots of range of motion to do life. Yeah.
Your basic tasks.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, if you are so immobile and tight that you can't take your t-shirt off, or, you know, reach to the top cupboard to grab a mug or something like that, then you probably need to stretch more so that you can access those ranges of motion. Right. For most of us in activities of daily living, just lifting weights at an appropriate range of motion is more than enough, right? Because when you are lifting weights, you should be trying to stretch the muscle with each rep. That should be like the aim of range of motion. Like bicep curl, you should be getting the arm straight until you feel like the bicep stretch and then contracting. So, you know, you don't need to stretch the biceps because you're stretching it when you're doing bicep curls, right? Now, there's a fallacy where some people would think, well, I need to stretch to prevent injuries.
Yep.
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 Or I need to stretch because, you know, and they might not have thought that far. It's just, oh, well,
I've been told that.
It's, you know, it's common knowledge, Steve. What are you talking about? Well, yep. they're questions that we can dive further into. And, you know, we could be confident and say, well, stretching doesn't, you know, prevent an injury, right? It doesn't reduce the risk of an injury happening. It might help us to the types of stretching you do, because that's a whole umbrella world. But if you expose the joints to certain positions, it might become more robust and not damaged the next time it goes into that position. For example, if you never stretch your bicep ever, you never get your arm straight. The one time that you get your arm straight is the first time that that bicep experienced that long position. Mm. And if that's when you're, I don't know, catching your phone from falling on the ground, that might be where you actually injure your bicep. Yeah. Even though it's a very benign activity, just, you know, straightening your arm, that tissue might not be ready for it. So maybe you need to expose that tissue more, maybe, right? But stretching in itself isn't a major injury risk factor decreasing element. Yeah. The biggest things with injury is things like sleep quality, stress, nutrition, hydration, overall load management. These things are what's important for injury risk reduction, not stretching, if you stretch or not. Okay. So that's number one. How often should you be stretching? Well, it does depend. Most people don't need to stretch. If you are exercising frequently and you're taking your range of motion to a position where you are stretching, you don't need to. No dramas. If you wanted to, I don't know, be more proficient at yoga.
Yeah.
Or you wanted to quit your job and run away with the circus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Learn the splits.
Yep. If you wanted to, or I don't know, take up kickboxing and kick someone in the head. If you wanted to do these activities, you might need to do some more focused stretching. Yeah. So then the question is, how often should I be stretching? Okay. So you can, you know, stretch daily. Yeah, you can have it into a routine. But for logistical sake, you know, anywhere between 2 to 4 times a week of a structured stretching program. And structured stretching and that world of mobility isn't just like a therapeutic, feels nice, oh, I'm going to stretch while I'm playing on my phone activity. Stretching and a stretching routine is painful. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. Like if you are stretching and you want to do like the splits, like that hurts, it's painful, it's probably more uncomfortable than just going and lifting weights, right? So if you are doing a proper stretching program that is, you know, 20 to 30 minutes or more in length, and you're doing that, you know, 2 to 4 times a week, you will probably have DOMS, you will probably be sore, you will feel like it's uncomfortable and you don't want to do it again. So, you know, 2 to 4 times a week is fine. Can you overstretch? Yeah, of course you can. Like overtraining. So you can, you know, if you keep hammering your hamstring, trying to stretch that hamstring, you can cause, you know, micro tears and experience DOMS and have strains in that muscle from stretching, especially in the world of stretching around like ballistic style stretching or loaded stretching. And you've seen like videos of, I don't know, Eastern European gymnastic coaches, and you know their names are, you know, Helga, and they've got the young like gymnast girls on like blocks doing splits, and they're there pushing their shoulders down trying to force them into the splits, and you can imagine the muscles are just getting in this extreme stretch loaded position. So yeah, of course you can cause trauma to the tissues, but I don't think many of us are stretching like that. So
absolutely, I'm not.
No, of course not. So I would say for most of us, no, you can't really overstretch, especially if you're doing it because it feels nice. I just like stretching. It feels nice in my body. Mm. You might be doing it for 5 to 10 minutes in a few different body parts, maybe while you're playing on your phone or watching TV or listening to music or chatting with your friend. If that's the case, you could stretch every day. You could stretch every day, a short window of time of a light RPE, no issues. And that's the same as you could do exercise every day for 5 to 10 minutes at a low RPE. You can go for a walk every day. That's kind of like light mm-hmm. exercise going for a low RPE. So it's a bigger question of it depends. And it depends on the overall goal. So structured stretching is painful, uncomfortable. Most of us don't do structured stretching because most of us get adequate range of motion in our body just from lifting weights so that we can do life. So we put our shoes on, we can take our t-shirt off and groom ourselves appropriately.
Make a cup of tea.
Make a cup of tea.
Groom ourselves appropriately.
Yes, that's a nice way of cleaning up.
Yeah. Yes. Tidying up.
Tidying up the human things, whatever they are. So good. All right, team, let's wrap up there for week 4. We will catch you next week as we roll into phase 2, and which will also be the start of our 14-day shred. So don't miss out. It's going to be really cool.
Yep. Have a lovely Easter.
Bye.
Bye.